Welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, the latest on shares, markets and investments, now available on your Amazon Alexa.
Hello and welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, now also available on the UK Investor Magazine mobile app. For today's podcast, we're going to be discussing anti-war technology solutions. And to do that, we're very kindly joined by the head of global affairs of Ukrainian tech company Sigma Software in Alexandra Govoruha. Alexandra, thank you much for being on the podcast today.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for inviting me, Jonathan.
I've been in touch, and UK Investor Magazine have been in touch with Sigma Software for some years now. We originally met at the Web Summit conference in Portugal, and we've been very closely following the tech sector in Ukraine for some years and the growth there. But Alexandra, what we're going to be discussing today is obviously the particularly pertinent topics around anti-war tech solutions and hackathon that you have coming up, and the solutions that you're going to be looking at during that hackathon and looking to Sieg. But before we do that, Alexandra, would you be able to give us an introduction to yourself as well as Sigma Software, please?
Yeah, of course. Thank you for this. So I've been working at Sigma Software for already 4 years. As you mentioned, my position, head of global affairs. So I'm responsible for communicating with many stakeholders of our company in various countries and building the reputation of Sigma Software among our clients, employees, partners. And I'm happy to share few words about our company. It's IT service Swedish-Ukrainian company. We are a part of a big Swedish group, which is called Sigma. And we've been operating already over 20 years in the market. We work in 13 countries. We have offices already in 13 countries. And around 200 clients, 2,000 IT experts who work with us. And we are among world's top 100 outsourcing providers for today.
Fantastic. Thank you. So today, as I said at the beginning, Alexandra, we're going to be focusing on the efforts that Sigma are putting in to push forward anti-war technology solutions. And you're doing that through a Hack for Peace hackathon. So, you know, for people listening that maybe don't know what a hackathon is, maybe give us a bit of background into that and especially what this particular Hack for Peace is going to be doing.
I'd be glad to. The hackathon is my idea, and the architecture of the project was born in April, I guess, when it was really hard times for Ukraine. So as you know, now we are making counteroffense, and now everything looks more optimistic than it was in March, April. So I was really upset, and I seated and I was thinking what could be created and to help our people to fight and to win, and what could be meaningful for them. Before the war, Sigma Software made a lot of social projects in IT education, in female empowerment, bridging tech ecosystem together. For example, last summer we ran the UK-Ukraine FinTech Summit in London and in Kyiv in two studios with teleconference between them. Due to the war, all our PR activities, of course, were canceled, and we started thinking to create something really helpful. This idea came to life. The hackathon is a platform which unites five countries. It's the UK, Ukraine, Portugal, Poland, and Sweden. And the idea is to mix people from these countries in cross teams, let them this opportunity to work together. And we are focusing not only on developers, but also on non-tech specialists in tech, like product managers, designers, project managers, marketing specialists, So all tech enthusiasts are welcome to create products which can fight war effects or prevent war effects.
You know, obviously you're setting out on this mission, Alexandra, to come up with solutions that are focused on preventing war. I mean, what type specifically of solutions are you hoping to see as a result from the Hack for Peace initiative?
Mm-hmm. We have four streams. And the topics of these streams are based on real problems which exist now. I know them because I'm actively involved into many projects in Ukraine. For example, like some volunteering projects. For example, I was a part of PR Army of Ukraine in the beginning of March when we helped to spread a truth about what's happening to foreign journalists. And I'm in touch with many activists in Ukraine. So that is how I touched the water and I understood what problems exist now. And we came up with the idea of four topics. So the first one is mental health. The second is kids' education in terms of war. The third one is logistics. It's evacuation of people, it's delivery of humanitarian aid and other logistics. And the fourth, last but not least, it's media wars, cybersecurity and information hygiene. And actually the fourth topic is about preventing war effects. Because it, of course, it's good to have something which help you to fight, but it's better to have something which help you even don't have this fight at all. And to cover those topics, we will invite experts in these areas. With each of them, we will have webinars before the hackathon to dig deeper to the real problems in these topics and to help our participants to create solutions which will solve the real problems, not just like some products, but products which will be helpful and which will solve truly existing problems.
Of course, of course. So thank you very much. Very good insight there, Alexandra. I mean, one thing I just want to touch on now is you mentioned there that there's a number of companies across Europe involved in this initiative. I mean, what does that mean to you and Sigma Software and, of course, the Ukrainian people to have such a level of engagement with other countries on providing these solutions to the anti-war tech that you're looking at pushing forward?
Mm-hmm. It actually means a lot for us. We have a huge support of different ecosystem organizations, communities, event organizers, companies across Europe. Why so? First, we position our hackathon not just like help to Ukraine, but help to Europe, because everyone in Europe now feels this unpredictable neighbor, which is not so far from Europe. Yeah, it's Russia, and everyone now feels this threat of unpredictability and unexpected neighbor. So that is how we engage with all of these partners. And we explain that we are aiming to create this solution together for many European countries. For example, in Poland, it's Startup Poland, it's a Speed Up group, it's Google Campus for Startups. In Portugal, it's Startup Portugal, Startup Lisboa. In Sweden, such organizations as Founder Institute, Startup Grind Nordics, Nati Ventures. In Ukraine, it's Sigma Software Labs. It's a business incubator of our company. It's SID Venture Partners, Tech Ukraine, the Ministry of Digital Transformation of Ukraine, and the Ukrainian Startup Fund. In the UK, it's Tech Nation, it's Blue Lake Accelerator, and it's Techfugees, organization which helps refugees all over the world with different ways of this help. I like what they are doing, and I'm happy that they are supporting us as well. And I forgot to mention Sigma Software University, of course. It's also a part of our internal ecosystem of our company, which supports us.
Fantastic. So, Alexandra, now let's just look, if we may, the overall tech scene in Ukraine over the last 6 months. Now, of course, you know, the tragedy of the Russian aggression must have, you know, changed it to some extent. I know from speaking to people over there, although there has been big changes, that they're really pushing forward with things. So, I mean, would you be able to give us a bit of detail of how the tech scene in Ukraine has adapted to the situation over the last 6 months?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's actually a good word, adapted, that you used. The war showed us that we are really very flexible, especially in the tech industry. And I think previous events due to COVID, the pandemic, they trained us a bit. So we were actually prepared to work remotely, and we were ready to work from everywhere. Of course, we were not ready to work from bomb shelters, but we did it as well. And during the first weeks of the war, our developers were delivering solutions to our clients, even sometimes from bomb shelters. Now what I see, what has happened and how it impacted our tech ecosystem, I see that we have growth, actually, even in terms of war. We have around 5,000 Ukrainian tech companies now. It's altogether IT service companies and startups. And these companies generated $880 million in taxes during the wartime. And some companies paid their taxes in advance to help the government and the army of Ukraine. I'm not even mentioning how many funds were established during this time, how many volunteering organizations. So we really see that people are united and they are fighting together and fighting not only in army, but also in cybersecurity, in volunteering, in helping with mental health, for example. So different ways of fight here. And according to the National Bank of Ukraine, the export volume of IT services for the first half of 2022 has reached $3.74 billion. And this amount is 23% more than for the same period in 2021. Can you imagine? So
yeah,
in this incredible time, yeah. So we are growing, talking about startups, they raised nearly $350 million during this period. Of course, many people, they were evacuated and they fled to the western part of Ukraine, where safe places are, to Europe. But we are all united. On example of our company, we have now new offices in Europe and all the team is spread across Europe. But we are still working together and delivering solutions to clients and creating projects. Even in my team, people are in Ukraine, in Lithuania. I am in England. One girl is in Bali. But we still have online meetings and we are in line with our tasks and everything is working. I think that we became even stronger due to these circumstances. Of course, I want them to finally finish and I want to have peaceful life. And we are all a bit tired to be strong. But yeah. What we have to do, it's like we have to stay resilient and to stay flexible. And I think we are doing our best.
I mean, you mentioned the word there, resilient, Alexandra, and you know the stories that you tell there of people working to deliver solutions to clients at the beginning of the war from bomb shelters is just incredible. Very difficult for people, I assume, in the West to imagine what that's like. But you know, on that theme of resilience, you know, just want to look forward now, Alexandra, to you know what the tech sector in Ukraine means for the economic recovery going forward. You mentioned that, of course, companies were generating high levels of tax for the Ukrainian government to obviously fund efforts there. And you know, as you said, some companies are even prepaying their tax. But you know, in your view, how important is the Ukrainian tech sector to spurring an economic recovery from the conflict?
Of course, it's vitally important. I already mentioned the amount of taxes that were paid, and the same amount or even more will be paid to the end of this year. And based on the report of the Ministry of Digital Transformation of Ukraine that was presented at the Recovery Conference in Switzerland in July. Based on this report, we see that IT industry will play one of the main roles in the recovery plan of Ukraine. There will be hundreds of projects that are planned. And of course, only this industry now is growing and it generates constant income. And of course, technology, innovation, and talented people in this area are our gold mine. And Ukraine will need significant time to recover its major industries, such as agriculture, heavy metallurgy. But IT industry, it's something that shouldn't be recovered. So it works and it grows. So it even will help metallurgy or agriculture to create some innovations and to solve some problems in this area.
Fantastic, thank you. So just to finish up now, Alexandra, as I said at the beginning, I first met some of your colleagues at Web Summit some years ago. You know? And I believe I mean the presence over the years that I've been there, you know, I feel it's really grown in line with the prominence of the Ukrainian tech scene. So I believe you'll be there this year. There'll be a Ukrainian pavilion.
Yeah.
Right? So what can attendees at Web Summit expect to see on show from Ukraine this year?
So it will be a much more bigger pavilion. And we are really proud of it because it wasn't easy even the past year in peaceful time. So now in terms of war, it's almost impossible. And together with the team of co-organizers, we were thinking, should we do this pavilion or should we not? Would it be relevant in this situation? Would people tell that it's better to send this money for the army? But finally, we found partners who supported us financially. And We engaged with many ecosystem organizations in Ukraine, and we decided to make this pavilion and to make this happen because I think that in our situation, we have to present Ukraine and we have to show to the global community that we are still working, not just working, but even growing. And we are still interesting for investors, for partners. And we have many to offer to them, a lot of to offer. Not only talented people, but also cool tech products, startup funds. We will have Startup Alley close to the pavilion. We will have a speaking zone where many companies will present themselves during 3 days. And some other activities, which are now is under secret. So we are preparing something interesting. And of course, there will be a Ukrainian night. I can't say that it will be party. I think it's not very relevant to arrange a party during the war, but it will be something interesting, mix of culture, traditions, and innovations, which we will demonstrate during this night as side event of Web Summit. So I really invite everyone who are going to Web Summit this year, who are living in Lisbon or who will come to Lisbon, invite you all guys to join us. We will be happy to show the tech face of Ukraine.
No, indeed. I for one will certainly be there and look forward to see the progress that's been made, and you know, look at some of the innovations that are still coming from Ukraine, given the hard times that you're experiencing over there. So, Alexandra, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you, Jonathan.
So, just as a note, what we're going to do is we're going to put a link in the notes to this podcast through to the Hack for Peace. Now, do check that out and follow. Because I believe, Alexandra, the event's coming up in October. Is that correct?
Yeah, correct. It's 21st, 23rd of October, and applications are now open. So feel free to apply as a mentor or as a participant, and we will be glad to have you on board.
Perfect. So yeah, do check out the notes and hope to see you at Web Summit in November.
Super. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the UK Investor Magazine podcast. Please do share the podcast, and we really value any reviews and comments you leave us in your chosen podcast player. The views presented by the hosts and guests of the UK Investor Magazine podcast are in no way investment advice, and please remember, all investment involves risk.